Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Carmen Amoros. This holiday season, the Red Cross continues to focus on reaching as many people as possible who need our help. Your help is urgently needed to continue to support relief efforts. Getting supplies and meals and water into affected areas is the top priority. Since the beginning of the Sandy relief effort, nearly 9,000 Red Cross workers have been deployed from all 50 states to operations from North Carolina to Rhode Island, with the majority still in Greater New York and throughout New Jersey. Last night, more than 1,900 people impacted by Sandy and the Nor'easter spent the night in 16 shelters in the following states of New Jersey and New York. More than 6 million meals and snacks have been served. The Red Cross has distributed more than 2 million relief items, such as cleanup kits and hygiene kits. Please donate today. Financial donations make the greatest and most immediate impact, helping the Red Cross to provide shelter, food, emotional support, and other assistance to those affected by disasters like Hurricane Sandy. The hurricane is no longer with us, but it left its devastating effects. The lives of many people will not return to normalcy for some time, perhaps months, perhaps years, who knows how long. Please think of these people this holiday season and support the Red Cross. For more information, go to www.redcross.org/hurricane-sandy. Thank you.
Tired of trying to find that holiday activity that will bring that vibrant spark to the holiday season? Great news! The New York Tenors are back! Yes! American tenors Andy Clooney, Daniel Rodriguez, and Michael Amante are back with a string of concerts from November through December and into the new year 2013. Since the inception of the Three Tenors on July 7, 1990 in Rome at the Baths of Caracalla on the eve of FIFA World Cup Final, Placido Domingo, Jose Carreras, and the one and only Luciano Pavarotti have opened the doors for other great voices such as the Irish tenors, the Canadian tenors, and many other talented and renowned performers. Now three of New York's premier voices, Andy Clooney, Daniel Rodriguez, and Michael Amante, have joined together to honor the city of New York and our great nation as one and only New York tenors. Daniel Rodriguez, America's beloved tenor, came to light during one of the darkest times of our nation's history. He was a New York City police officer whose amazing voice comforted a grieving nation in the days following 9/11/2001. He continues to inspire, stir, and embrace his listeners through his recordings and memorable live concert performances. Andy Clooney, christened Irish America's favorite son by the New York Times, is a title he truly deserves. Andy has been taking the Irish American scene by storm for the last 20 years. His unique tenor voice has been heard in concert halls internationally, including two sold-out performances in New York's Carnegie Hall. Michael Amante, affectionately known as the People's Tenor, is a combination of all-American looks, romantic Italian charm, and an incredible voice. Legendary performer Tony Bennett is quoted saying, "Michael's remarkable range of notes and his ability to sing everything from opera to Broadway to contemporary gives this tenor an intimate connection with everyone who hears him." The New York Tenors combine the artistry of three men who alone are superb, but together provide an overwhelming, can't-miss showcase of some of the world's greatest vocalists and repertoire. So this holiday season, why stay home when you have a whole roster of New York Tenors concerts starting from November 30th at West Point, New York, December 1st, Easton, Pennsylvania, December 9th at Palm Coast, Florida, December 10th at Avon Park, Florida, December 11th at Englewood, Florida, and December 19th at Carnegie Hall. For ticket information, go to www.concertboom.com. That's concertboom.com. And in the search field, type New York Tenors Tour Dates. Order your tickets today and don't miss a special evening with the New York Tenors this holiday season.
Oh,
your tickets for all New York Tenor's New York City venues, go to www.concertboom.com. That's concertboom.com. Don't spend another holiday season without spending an evening with the New York Tenor. Welcome to the New York Podcasting Cafe with your host, Carmen Amoros. Hi, you're listening to Carmen Amoros, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe. Today I have the honor and the privilege of interviewing a very brilliant, very talented young lady by the name of Liz Menezes, who is a singer-songwriter that began her musical career at the age of 10 by getting involved in church as part of the choir ensemble. And while she was learning how to play classical piano, she also trained as a writer, and that began at an early age when she began writing poetry, which later would take life with melodies, eventually becoming songs. Her desire to be involved in music led her to audition, and along the way she did performances as a singer and has also worked as a backup vocalist for different known artists. In her music, you will not find your typical love story, being that she defines her sound as fresh and innovative, presenting them as a storybook of a song. Liz has been influenced greatly by the Brazilian culture. During her stay there for several years, she had the opportunity to record American standards in Bossa Nova in Rio de Janeiro. Included in these projects, which were released in Europe and Japan, are such names as Bossa Nova great Roberto Menescal and partner of Albatross Music, Raimundo Bittencourt. In 2007, two of her renditions of such Beatles classics, For No One and Nowhere Man, included in the compilation Beatles in Bossa Nova, went number one in iTunes Japan. In 2008, Liz was voted into first place by her fans in the Latin category on the online competition Famecast with her song Medidas. In 2009, Liz was acknowledged by the press, appearing in People Español, Boom Magazine, Pies Derecho, New York, Al Día, Junior's Cave Online Magazine, to name a few. And she performed at the world-known B.B. King's in NYC. 2010 brought Liz Menezes more attention. She was awarded honorable mention by Billboard as a lyricist and interpreter for her song Tengo in the Latin category. Her fan base has continued to grow with fans in Argentina, Peru, Spain, and many more. 2011, Liz Menezes debuts her CD Yo, which has been released on all digital downloads. The CD has been a complete success. She is now being played in the following radio stations: RadioSense.com, RadioVIPZE.com, www.895RadioDelPueblo.com, AR, and many more. And now the New York Podcasting Cafe has the distinct honor of her presence. Please join me in welcoming Liz Menezes to the New York Podcasting Cafe.
Hello, Liz. It's so nice to have you here on the New York Podcasting Cafe. Season's greetings.
Season's greetings. Thank you so much for the invite and having me here tonight.
I am just so thrilled to be able to be back on and having you here, finally. So many people have been emailing me asking about you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, this is great, and thank you for the opportunity, actually, for me to speak with my fans and with people that don't even know my music, and that way they get introduced to it. So it's exciting. It's always exciting to do this.
It certainly is. It's just so thrilling for me to be able to introduce folks to various genres who perform all around the world. And there are people who are out there. They are actually up and coming, and they're fresh.
Right.
And it seems that the whole world wants to know more about them. And you're one of those folks out there. I can appreciate having you on this show because of that.
Woo! Oh, yay! Well, I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad that people, you know, catching an interest, and my name is starting to get known, and I truly appreciate everyone who listens and sits down and has something to say about my music, and that's why I do it. So I love what I do, and I'm glad that others enjoy it.
So to the average person who's listening, they may not know you, but you've been around. So share with us a little bit about who you are, your family life, where you went to school, how you got started, the whole thing. Just sort of give us a good rundown.
Okay, I'll give you a quick rundown. I'll condense it. I was born in New York, Lower East Side, Manhattan. I am of Dominican descent, so my parents are Dominican. My school, St. Patrick's Hill Cathedral, which unfortunately now is shut down, I went to St. Patrick's Hill Cathedral Church, and I have one brother. And I started doing music. Forgot to mention that. I started singing in church. So my first introduction to music was actually singing in church. I developed the love.
Do you write a lot of your music?
I write all of my music, every single bit, yeah.
Oh,
I have a lot to say, Carmen.
Do you write in English and Spanish?
I write in both, yes. I write in both. And now I'm starting to write in Portuguese. It's a lot to say. I started off writing poetry. And from poetry, it started flowing into music. So I think it goes hand in hand. Music and lyrics are a form of poetry in a way. So, and I thank a lot of people for their stories, because their stories are inspiration for what I do.
I heard that you have a little bit of history with the Beatles, but before we start any rumors, can you explain? I have a history with John Lennon, too, by the way, but it was just a very brief encounter that I had with him in Manhattan one day in the summer of 1976 when I was walking down the street in front of the Dakota with an ex-boyfriend of mine. So we'll save that for another episode. Right now, what your history is with their music.
Well, with their music, of course, I knew about them. But when I was in Brazil, which I lived in Brazil 2 years, I was introduced to an independent record label by the name of Albatross Music out in Rio de Janeiro. And they were actually searching for singers to sing American standard songs or songs of well-known songs in Bossa Nova. So I pretty much auditioned. I sang for them. They liked me. And the first two songs that I recorded as an independent artist under their label were Beatles songs, For No One and Nowhere Man. And those two songs, which I recorded, actually went number one in iTunes in Japan.
Wow.
So I'm actually known in Japan and in Europe under Bossa Nova music, under that genre. But now I'm trying to get, you know, my name out there under what I currently do, which is pop rock, I would say. Alternative rock, I would say.
So you're doing pop, and then what types of venues are you actually performing at?
I'm not currently performing much because I'm working on my second EP, which will be in English and Spanish. But prior to this little hiatus while I'm working on this EP now, I've done B.B. King, I've done The Bitter End, I've done Cafe Wah, I've done venues in the city and venues in Queens, New York. I'm still looking to do that outside of New York gig. I think that this EP is going to take me a little further. This first EP that I did was more of, you know, get to know who I am and test the waters and see what works and what doesn't work. And now that I've done that, I know now more or less I'm more grounded as to what I really want to do with music, and I'm just going to put my foot forward and really write different. It's going to be a completely different EP.
Nice.
So I'm super excited about it. I'm very excited about it.
Who's your audience? How would you describe your audience? Who's your listener?
My audience, I would say it's not the teeny bopper audience, but it's the audience, I would say, 20s and up, and I consider my audience an audience that's a thinker, someone who wants to see the brighter side of things, someone who wants, let's say, a daily experience in their life to be set to music, and that they could actually sing that and say, hey, you know, it's not that bad. This song relates to me. This song alleviates me. This song soothes me. And there's also going to be a song in there that, you know, you might want to dance to. I think the person who listens to my music has to be someone who's very open-minded and doesn't see just one side to things, that sees all sides and all colors to things.
Having started in the church realm, do you continue to pursue singing in spiritual venues?
I currently sing in a Brazilian church every Sunday. I'm still active with that.
And you sing in Portuguese also?
It's in Portuguese. Mm-hmm. I sing in Portuguese in this church. So I do that every Sunday. And I'm also thinking about doing a Christian EP but that's a little bit later on. I tested the waters by writing a song by the name of Where Are You Now? And that song alone, I put it on YouTube, and it's gotten a lot of attention.
Oh, I hope that we can hear that song.
That's one of the songs I was going to give you.
Okay, so we were going to play that song now. Would you like us to play it? Okay.
Sure, why not?
So, did you write that song?
Yeah, I wrote
it. Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you out there who are tuned in, we want you to hear the song. It is sung by Liz Menezes, and it's entitled, Where Are You Now?
Personal experience of mine.
Can you share?
Sure. I, growing up, was very involved with church. I grew up Catholic. But somewhere, I'm sure like many, many people out there, a distance is created between you and God. And I somehow found my way back through my husband, who is Christian, and I was baptized Christian, and that song is kind of like, I don't want to say an homage, but almost explaining my short travel from distancing myself from God to finding Him again, and how I really want to be in His presence, and how I really want to continue to learn more about Him, and what he's doing in my life, his work in my life, and which will never stop. So title of the song, Where Are You Now, is almost calling out to him and saying, where are you now? Which is how I felt when I was lost. Where are you now? I need you now. So when I sing that song, I feel very empowered, and it's very self-explanatory. So I hope that a lot of people relate to it and can see that even though, let's say, we might drift away from God, or we might forget to thank God, he is always there. And he is a forgiving God. So always return back. There's always a home. God always has his arms open.
I completely agree. And you know something? It doesn't really matter what denomination you're from.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people who are from the Catholic denomination, and they have a
mm-hmm.
very deep faith. And others
mm-hmm.
from Baptist denomination,
mm-hmm.
Methodist, Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It's all about your relationship and you seeking him. That's all that matters.
Precise.
He just wants to hear from you, and he wants you to talk to him. That's all. And that in itself is enough.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I'm very passionate about my faith and very adamant about my faith. I'm not pushy about it, but I love to let people know what keeps me going and where my feet are planted. It's a very firm ground. God is the one who keeps me going, and he's the one who walks before me in all I do.
That's right. You know something? How grounded we are in our own personal faith, whether we make it extremely private or extremely public,
mm-hmm.
I would say sets the pace for how successful we are in life. A lot of people do not equate spirituality with success. And there are
mm-hmm.
people walking around on there who have poured their money, their resources, their time
yeah.
into businesses, into careers, and it just won't take off because they haven't thought of the single most important thing that actually helps make things happen, and that
mm-hmm.
is their faith.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to start flying. Your career
yeah.
is going to soar. But we don't acquire anything without some degree of difficulty in life. We were not promised a rose garden, but I do believe that faith really makes a very big difference in our success story.
Agreed. I couldn't have said it better.
I heard that your husband is a very brilliant guy. Talk to me a little bit about him.
Well, the way I met him,
mm-hmm.
I was working on a demo, and I spoke to the producer who I was working with at the time, and I told him, I want live musicians, but my main instrument is a guitar. So I need to find an awesome guitar player who understands my thought process and what I'm looking for, and he told me about him. And I said, sure, you know, let's listen to him. And he came in and blew me away. He blew me away. I sang the song, and he instantly understood what I wanted to do with it, what direction it was going to go. And I always joke with him because I said, you know, I was paying you when I first met you, you know, and this is how I bought my husband. No, I'm just playing. and our life has been music day and night, and I'm not kidding. We come up with ideas constantly, and we feed off each other, and when he gets stumped for an idea, he'll turn to me and say, hey, do you hear something in the music? And I'll come up with my idea. So it's a team effort all the way.
That's wonderful. Are you sure that it wasn't the fact that he saw that you were this amazingly beautiful woman who walked
in
and was inspired to play his very, very best for you?
Oh, no. Oh, you're too kind. Thank you.
I'm sure there's a little bit of that in there.
Okay. If we're gonna go that direction, I'll be honest. The day that I saw him, it was snowing, and the producer was driving me around. We were waiting for him to come downstairs to meet with us. And when I saw him, I was just like, oh, my goodness, he's so hot. I said, oh, my God, he's so hot. But, you know, then I told myself, no, you know, you don't want anything. And to top it off, he was coming from his girlfriend's house.
Uh-oh.
So I didn't know this. You know, I didn't know this. But I just said, wow, this is a hot musician. And I love light eyes. I'm a man. And he has hazel eyes. So that just topped it off. I said, oh, my goodness. He's not just good looking, but he is an incredible musician, which makes it a double whammy. Of course, I controlled myself. And then when we met each other again for him to record the second song, lo and behold, he did not have a girlfriend anymore. And that was a month later.
Wow.
So I don't know. I don't know what happened there, you know, but I hope I didn't have anything to do with it. But, you know, the second time around that we met, he asked me out to the movies, and I said, yeah.
Sometimes it's the timing. A relationship is ending, and a new mm-hmm. one starts just at the right time. It's
mm-hmm.
it's all about timing. So you guys are very proactive in music, and I think that was one of the things that helped you to mesh together, because
yeah.
sometimes people don't have music in common, or they don't have the things that they enjoy in common, and someone gets bored, or someone
yeah.
sort of finds themselves pulling the other out of the
yeah.
thing that they enjoy doing. So it works out when the two of you have those things in common. How long have you guys been married, and what's your take on making things work?
We've been married now. We just made our seventh year this year.
Wow.
And I think, oh, and just a tidbit of information, we married within 5 months of knowing each other.
Wow, so you were...
Yeah, it was Speedy Gonzalez, yeah. We knew, we just knew, you know, and it was quick, and we've
wow.
been together 7 years. Not that I'm recommending everybody do that, but it worked for us. What I think makes a relationship work is communication is key. Communication and trust is very, very key. When you disagree on things, of course in a marriage you're going to disagree, or a relationship, or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it may be, there's going to be moments of disagreement, and that's the chance to even get to know each other further and discuss and see how you can come with a solution that could be agreeable to both people. Trust, another thing, once trust is broken, it's very, very hard to go back to that. So I think that to make a relationship work, make sure you maintain that trust. Never let that go. And if there's disagreements, you know, try to discuss, not argue.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that keeps a relationship going is do new things. You know, don't always stay home. Go out. Go to the go to dinner. Like, my husband and I right now are doing something which we call restaurant week. And each week, we're testing out different restaurants. 1 week I pick, 1 week he picks. And since he's so busy and I'm so busy, we don't see each other often. So we take that time to make it like a date night and kind of like get to know each other all over again and kind of discuss the whole week. So, you know, nice things like that. Take a weekend off. Just be creative. The whole thing to that is be creative and be sexy. You know, sometimes you get married and you let yourself go. You know, you're not the person that they met. You're someone completely different, you know, and try to maintain that spark. Be sexy, be spontaneous. Makeup, perfume, take care of yourself. A man appreciates that. You don't want him to be disinterested in you and start losing that loving feeling, like that song goes. Keep the spark alive. There's no reason not to.
Absolutely. Now, going back to the music,
yes.
what do you feel most influences your lyrics and the work that you put into your song?
My lyrics are influenced a lot by everyday living and stories that are told to me, or past experiences that I had growing up. Don't like writing about you love me, I love you, everything's candy and roses. I don't like that. I like being realistic and sincere and bold with my lyrics. That's what inspires me. It could be anything from, you know, the leaf is green to I found a letter in the mailbox. It could be anything. Anything can trigger a song. Anything. The music, I feel that the music should reflect the lyrics. That's extremely important to me in the creative process. That if a song is melancholic and lyrically, the music should reflect that. Because the first thing that you're going to hear before you hear lyrics is the music. Very rarely will you hear a song that it just starts off lyrically. So the music is the introduction to what is to come. They work hand in hand. So to me, it's very important that they both are cohesive and that they both explain the story. If you take the lyrics out, the music will explain the story. If you take the music out, the lyrics are self-explanatory. So it's very important. If you're a listener, it's important that you get something out of the song, that you get a story, that you get an answer, that you get, you know, whatever it may be, but that you get something solid out of the song and that it stays in your mind. So that's what's very important to me. And that it will have longevity for years. You know, I did that first EP, and that EP will live forever. And that's something that, you know, working on the second EP, look at the Beatles.
Right.
Their music is forever. Elvis, their music is forever. So things like that you got to think about when you work on music. It's not just taking a pen, paper, throw music on, and you have a song. A song is a work of art.
I heard that the country of Brazil has influenced your music a lot. Do you have any songs that have some of those rhythms? You
know, and it's good that you ask, because we're trying to put that influence more so. My first EP does have, you can hear it through the guitar playing, but this EP, we're going to try to infuse it a little more. I love singing bossa nova.
Yeah.
When I've done shows, I'll throw in a couple of songs, and people seem to absolutely love it. So that's a direction that I can see in the future.
If I had my own druthers, I would sing bossa nova myself, because it's just
really
such beautiful music. It's so relaxing.
It is.
Just the whole ambiance that's created by the music. Yeah, it's so soothing.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I really do hope that you bring all those musical influences into the work that you're doing, because it's very...
It captures you more, I think.
It does, yes, it does.
I think so.
So introduce the next song that we would like to spin.
Well, since we're talking about bossa nova, I figured that we can play one of the songs that I did while I was in Brazil, recorded under the label of Albatross Music. The artist is Nora Jones, and this is my interpretation in bossa nova of Don't Know Why.
Liz Menezes in I Don't Know Why. I really hope to hear more of that stuff on your next BP. Sounds wonderful.
Thank you so much. You're so kind. I hope to be doing more of that because I became enamored with that kind of music. And so it would be my honor to do music like that. So I'm looking forward to it.
Do you have any favorite singers of the current.
Oh, God, that's like an endless chain of singers. One of my favorites is Shakira. Why do I like Shakira? When Shakira first came out, around the time that Shakira started singing and was introduced to Latin music, I was starting to go back into music, but I was singing in English. And she completely inspired me to start writing in Spanish and start singing in Spanish. And I just loved her use of words and the way she made words play together and create a story. And it was so exciting to me. So I would say Shakira is one of my very favorites.
Okay, which one was it?
Estoy Aquí was the first song that I ever heard, which was her most famous one when she started.
Come on.
Ya sé que no vendrá todo lo que fue. El tiempo lo dejó atrás. Sé que no regresará lo que nos pasó. No repetirá jamás. That's it.
You know what I can appreciate? I love Shakira. I love her voice. I really do.
Yes.
I love those little yodels that she does with her voice.
Yes.
Can you do any of those?
Yes. No. But through listening to her, I discovered my own style, which is my voice is very strong, but it has its own character, and it's so hard to like even do justice to what she does. You know, she's unique. She's unique. And so, like, my voice, I conditioned it so to be its own unique character. And so I hope someday to meet her and, oh, God, to, like,
well,
maybe share a stage with her.
Everybody has someone that they admire that sometimes they adapt a little bit of that person's style from, whether they do it subconsciously or consciously. For example, I think that I hear a little of Alanis Morissette in Shakira. You know, like, Alanis Morissette does that. You know, thing with
yeah.
her voice. And
that was good, by the way. Oh, my God.
And Shakira does the same thing, too. Now, mind you, it's not my style. But honestly, I love to hear Shakira, and I love to hear Alanis Morissette.
Right.
I love their music. Do you have any upcoming venues that you are planning to do? Is there anything in the coordinating stages?
Ironically, I'm going to be doing a show on December 14th with Anthony Sanchez.
My favorite guy singer, Anthony.
So we're going to be doing a show together. The details I'll have to give them to you because I don't know them off the top of my head. He's the one who told me about it. But that's the nearest one that I'm going to be doing. And then for the rest of the year, I'm just going to be working on this EP. I'm going to dive into this new project, which I'm doing. And that's pretty much it. If I do come up with something, another show or performance, it'll be on my website, which is LizMenezes.com.
And as soon as we finish producing and editing this segment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to plug that venue featuring you and Anthony at the end of this. We'll do that. If we can get the information, that'd be great. That way it'll be up on the internet. And we are getting hit with about 3,000 listeners.
Awesome.
I would say right now per month, because I can only say per month. I can't say a week or per day.
Right.
I've been experiencing a high volume of downloads, about 750 a week since I started airing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So no doubt it's going to be a wonderful thing for people to listen to your music and get to love you because you are just so wonderful. Tony, I love what you did for that concert benefit for the Hurricane Sandy folks a week or two ago. I'm still thinking about it. There are still people talking about it. And I really hope that you continue with that flow, using your music for the better, to help people, to be of support to others spiritually and any way that you possibly can, because God is going to bless you. You're going to be experiencing a high degree of manna from heaven for that. You know, everything that we put on the water comes right back to us. I would like to spin another song. Can you introduce another song for us?
Sure. This song is not going to be on my new EP, but it is a song from my first one. And we did record an acoustic English version to this particular song. People seem to like the song. The title in Spanish is Sino, mm-hmm. and in English it is called Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, Yes. Myself. The title in Spanish is Sino, and like I said, the English is If, and people seem to like this particular song. I'm not sure why yet, but for me, the song, it means someone who's in a situation, a very stressful situation, and does not see a way out. Not to use this as an example, but I'm going to. Those who were affected by Hurricane Sandy, they see no way out right now. Everything looks very grim right now. People have lost their jobs. People have no home, et cetera. And the song is basically something like that. And in the song it says, if I control my teardrops, if I sit in silence, if I just calm my heart, I know that there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. There's going to be a door that's going to open. If, if I believe. So the song is very powerful in itself, and I hope that when someone listens to it now out there, they feel connected to it.
Oh my gosh, thank you for sharing that song with us and that description. If someone needs to find you, someone would like to email you, is there a place where they can reach you on the internet?
Sure. They can visit my website, which is lizmenezes.com. That's LizMenezes.com. Or they can visit reverbnation.com/LizMenezes. And you'll find all the information you would like. I'm also on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook. On Facebook, I'm Liz Menezes Music. On Twitter, I'm Liz Menezes Music as well.
Is there anything you would like to share with the audience before we bring the interview to a close? Something that has inspired you that you wish to share with them out there?
Well, I'm going to be silly in my closing. Just for everyone to know, I'm not just an artist, but I am a person just like you. I'm silly. I'm happy. I love chocolate.
You do?
I love chocolate. I love chocolate. You have no idea. I love animals. And I hope that you were able to get to know a little bit about me today. And I hope you enjoyed this conversation that I had with the lovely Miss Carmen. And till next time, because I know there's going to be a next time. So
okay.
Till next time. And thank you for the support. Thank you for listening to my music. And I look forward to sharing this new EP with you coming up soon.
Mwah! Liz, thank you so much for joining me on the New York Podcasting Cafe. And yes, there will definitely be a next time. And hopefully next time we will be able to spend more time, because you'll have a lot of venues that you're going to be sharing about. And perhaps maybe we're going to be spinning some of your new songs from the new CP. So I certainly look forward to that. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Thank you for having me. And thank you everyone for listening.
You have been listening to an interview with the beautiful, talented, internationally well-known Liz Menezes here on the New York Podcasting Cafe. For more information, you can reach me at www.newyorkpodcafe.com. To reach me for bookings, live podcastings, Ustream podcastings, you may contact me at carmeng@newyorkpodcafe or events@CarmenGoldbergMedia.com. Thank you for joining me today. Hi, stay tuned a little longer with us. Hang with us for a couple more minutes. Go grab yourself a quick cup of coffee or hot cocoa and join Liz and me for a live segment where she will be taking calls and answering questions from some of her fans. So don't go away. Hang out with us for a while. Let's have a little fun. To reach us for the live portion of this program, you may dial us at 646-200-3938. But be aware that we can only take calls while the show is live and you see the on-air sign on our screen at blogtalkradio.com/New York Podcasting Cafe. If you do not see the on-air sign, you can still download the podcast and listen in. However, we will not be live. You can only talk to us when you see the on-air sign, the red on-air sign, at the screen at blogtalkradio.com/New York Podcasting Cafe. Please give us a call while we're on live and talk to our guest artist, Liz Menezes. Share with her how much you love her music and how much you enjoyed the interview.
Hello, this is Carmen. This is the live segment of Interview with Liz Menezes, and I'm expecting her to give us a call, as we are hoping to be joined by some of her fans. And I see that there's a caller on the line. I don't know who it is, but I'm going to try and find out who it is and see if it's somebody. It may be her. Hi, you're live on the air. This is Carmen.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You're on the air. And may I ask who's calling?
Hi, my name is Emmy, and I've been a longtime fan and follower of Liz Menezes, and I just had a question for her.
Okay, I'm waiting for her to get on the air. She's supposed to be calling me anytime soon, but she might be listening. I have a feeling she might be listening because I told her to be available for the show, and you know, because it is going to, there was going to be a live segment. So how do you know Liz? How do you know about her music?
I saw her perform once at a show which was called the Rock Conference. And then yes, and it was a very good show. The music was very live and energetic. And what turns out to happen after that was that I started following through the social media networks, and I got the album. The album sounds amazing.
Wow, listen,
just basically,
Hold that thought for a second, okay? I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think there's another caller on here. Maybe Liz. You mind holding one second?
No problem. Yeah, that's
Hi, you're on the air. This is Carmen, New York Podcast.
Hi, Carmen. It's me, Liz.
Hi, Liz. Guess what? You got a caller. He beat you to the punch. He has some questions for you.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. I've been such a very, fanatic follower of your music, and I like what you're doing. I just had a question in regards to your writing. What drives you to make, you know, this type of music, like the song Veneno, which happens to be one of the songs that I like. Like, how do you put the music together with the words?
Well, like I have mentioned before, lyrics to me are extremely important because lyrics, they say what you're feeling. They convey an emotion. And I try to put myself in the shoes of someone that might be feeling exactly the way I'm feeling. And I just write and let it flow. And the music itself is a very integral part to me. With the lyrics, I think they go hand in hand, and it's artistry. It's almost like a painting, you know, the colors, the idea, everything goes hand in hand. I think it's a thought process, and I think it's something that should take time. It shouldn't be rushed, and if it makes you feel good, then it's done the right way. So to me, a song, it has to come from within me. It has to come from an experience that's been told to me by someone. And that's how I put the songs together. And like I said before, it could be about anything. But since I'm a lyricist, it's very important to me that the words within a song tell a story, give a solution, give an idea, help someone out in any way, shape, or form. The song Veneno, which you're talking about, was a little difficult for me because I normally don't write about that particular topic, about how, when you're in a relationship, you feel hot for someone. You know, it's almost like the initial feeling that you get when you see someone that you're attracted to, or you're in a relationship that you just can't get enough of someone.
Think it's a sexy song, and I think you did it very, very well.
Thank you so much, and I'm really glad that you enjoyed it. I'm really happy you enjoyed it.
Can you give us your name? Caller number one, can you reintroduce yourself, your name, and all that information, and maybe send an email to us here at the New York Pod Cafe so that you can stay in touch with Liz Menezes in the future?
Excellent. My name is Emmy, and you want my email? Or do I have
You don't have to give it to you don't have to give it to us live. Just send it to carmeng@newyorkpodcafe.com, or you
Excellent.
Can send it to Liz on Facebook. You know, if you want to deal with her directly, it's fine. Whichever way you choose, she's on Facebook.
I'll do that.
But tell us a little bit more about how you heard about Liz and all that good stuff.
Oh, I actually saw a show. It was a show that she did. A little bit ago, it was part of a rock conference, and I thought the band and her, they did a phenomenal show where the music mixed in very, very well. And then I became a follower, as I was saying, through the social medias, and I actually waited for the album patiently, and it came out, and I have it, and it's awesome, and, you know, I'm actually talking to her in the air, which is even great, you know? And
this is awesome, yeah, it is. And, you know,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, I don't get much of a chance to speak with a listener such as yourself, and just to get to know what it is that you like about the music and what why you follow is very important to me, because of you is that I do what I do. And to all those listeners out there, is this is why I do what I do.
That's beautiful.
It is. And it's fantastic to know that you take your time and you listen. And that means a great deal to me. So I thank you, Emmy. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for the time. And I mean, I was online. I didn't think anybody would pick up my call because I was already holding, but I'm actually glad this happened today.
See?
I'm so happy to hear that, Emmy. You don't know. Isn't Liz wonderful? She's been all over the world. She's been in Spain and Portugal and Japan. Her name was a household name, or is a household name out in Japan because of some of the Beatles songs that she did that were outlined on the interview. And yet she does not fail to be grateful to the people who have helped, you know, to put her where she is now. You know,
looking at
God plays a big role in it, but.
Yeah, I mean, from seeing her on stage perform and that power that, you know, that she does and how she does her show, and hearing her here, how down to earth she is on the phone, it's just an unbelievable feeling. And all I can say is, you know, Liz, keep doing your thing. You know, you have a faithful follower here. I love your music and wish you the best.
Thank you, Emmy. Thank you so much. And thank you for calling in. Thank you for spending a little bit of your time with us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, guys, for the time.
Emmy, thank you so much. And don't forget to write Liz at
the
her
email.
Facebook. You can reach me also at the New York Pod Cafe if you have a hard time finding her. Either way, you know, just post to her page, send her a message, give her your email, and she'll keep you abreast of any of her upcoming, you know, concert events and her new CD, which is about, she's about to release a new CD. So, you know, you want to stay in touch with her and you want to, you know, keep aware of what she's doing. She's doing some amazing things. She recently did a concert with Toni Mac. I don't know if you've been aware of that, Emmy, before you go.
Actually, Carmen, I was not able to participate in the second.
Oh, you weren't.
But Anthony did go ahead, and it was very successful. But at least I formed part of the beginning of that process. I'm glad that he was able to finish it off and do that concert.
And I heard he's even working on a toy drive too
I'll be part of. I'll be performing at that event with him.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'll look forward
to
following up. Bye.
Okay. Bye. It's so lovely having you on the program on the New York Pod Cafe.
Thank you.
That is so worth it, you know, to know that you, after you've worked so hard and you've put all your time into your music and giving thanks through it and giving back to people with it as well. And
yeah,
then you get a caller like that who seems so appreciative of you I think it's the icing.
And you know what? For all those singers and musicians who sometimes struggle, you know, because this is a career that you have to have the utmost patience. And you know, even if it's one by one that you conquer, it's all worth it. You know, just speaking with this caller, is. I don't even need more callers. If they want to call in, please. But it's so worth it.
It is worth it.
And I could hear that he's truly appreciative of what I do, and that's what makes it worthwhile to me.
Yeah, it really is. It's not only that, I think it's not just about your music. He seems to like the person, and that's important. Because of what good is it if you have a beautiful voice, right, and people don't mm-hmm. know you as a person that God would want you to be to your fellow man to other people. I've been disappointed many a time to find out that my most favorite singer, is an arrogant person. People do things publicly that you read about, that you hear about, and you really have these images of these people in your mind, and then you find out that they're entirely different in personality, and they're a turnaround from the kind of music that they do, which is music of love and music about, you know, because music is universal, and it's about love, and it's about a lot of good things, and it's sad. It really is sad. So it's just so lovely to know that somebody went out there and they saw you in concert and come here and talk about it with us. So let me ask you a question about the Beatles songs. Liz, are you still on? Did I lose you? Well, I'm still on the New York Podcasting Cafe, and I think that I might have lost Liz, but I'm hoping that she will give a call back in, because we still have a little time on the program, and we would like to ask her some more questions and maybe take some more calls. So, Liz, if you can, do please give me another call. Oh, there she is again. Hi, Liz.
Hi. The call got dropped. I apologize.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's not a problem. It happens. That's technology. It's never an exact science. What can we say? But I was just about to ask you a question about the Beatles song that you mm-hmm. did in the bossa nova style that became a real, real big hit in Japan and Spain and some of those
right.
places. When you did that, did you expect that kind of success, especially in Japan?
I know. All right, that's so strange. I mean, well, not strange, but it's. I never thought that could happen. So to me, that's a major accomplishment with doing music and being a singer, that people that I've never seen are listening to me and are appreciating it. And it's incredible. And the funny thing is that this record label in Brazil, which I recorded with, they recently just called me a couple of
really?
Days ago. And they would like me to record some more material for them. Which again will be released in Europe and Japan. So I'm super excited. We start recording next week, and that will be done as an independent project. So that's something that's super, super cool to me. And again, it'll be bossa nova jazz.
Oh, it is. So it's going to be bossa nova jazz.
Yeah. So that's going to be super cool. And that's another side of me, another persona. And I like being that way. I don't like just limiting myself to one sound, one style. It's good to experiment, because you never know what someone's gonna like, what someone's gonna appreciate. And that's another piece of advice that I give singers out there: don't limit yourself. Try different things and see where you feel most comfortable and where you get the most response, which is something that sometimes artists don't do. That'll be my advice when it comes to that situation.
Mm-hmm. So that, do you continue? Do you have any new material that you are going to be released already, or are you still in production? Because I know that takes a long time.
We're in pre-production. I'm in the writing stages. There are about three songs that we're going to do some musical production to next week. We're going to be going into the studio, and that's for my personal EP, not associated with the Bossa Nova. We're going to be doing that next week. So that's exciting. And last night I was having a writing session with Eli Menezes, and we were just throwing out, shooting ideas and trying to figure out the musical part of the song. So that's another thing. It's a creative process, and you really have to, you know, kind of like dive in and allow yourself to explore. So it's something that won't be released. This project won't be released till next year because I really want to take my time and really want to show people a different side of me as a writer, as a singer, and also with my music. So
I think
what's
wonderful is that you're multi-talented. You're a singer, you're a writer, and you sing both in English and Spanish. And you're very brave to put out a new production that is going to be both in English and Spanish, because I had been contemplating on doing that, and I sort of shied away from it. But being international and being in those places that you have been, certainly I believe gives you that advantage.
Right, exactly. So, now that I have that market has an ear on my music right now, it's important for me to move in on that and give them more to listen to and a variety to listen to so that they can see that, oh, hey, you know, this artist is always coming out with something new to listen to and something interesting to listen to. So let me see what she's up to now. So I really want to give more of a variety to the listener.
Do you survey? Do you take surveys from friends and fans and people on the types of music that you believe they would like to hear, or do you just basically decide according to your tastes and your likes and whatever inspires you?
I have listened to what people seem to like more from me. And I'm keeping that in mind as I'm working on this new material. I came out with this first EP, I came out with a harder edge, more of a rock and more aggressive, because I thought that that's what I needed to do. But now I'm taking a step back, and I'm trying to do material that I feel comfortable with, truly comfortable with, and that really shows me who I am.
Right.
And I think that as artists, when you're comfortable with what you do and you're true to yourself in doing that and being surrendering to the creative process, regardless of what is out there at the moment, I think you'll have a better chance of connecting with fans. Because sometimes, you know, the road is taken that, this is what's hot right now, this is what's being heard right now. That's the direction you should go. And I like to say, don't be a follower, be unique. And that's what's going to get you noticed, I think. And that's what's going to give you longevity.
What do you think fulfills you the most? Do you feel fulfillment in singing the sacred music or you know, the church music more than you do secular music? Which one do you feel really makes you feel at home and really makes you feel more useful?
Well, I wouldn't choose, because I have a passion for music. So I can't choose. Both touch a different aspect of who I am. When I'm spending time with God and in God's house, the music there touches me. It reaches me. I sing, and I'm not just singing, you know, I'm singing to God. Because when you're in church and you're part of the worship team, yes, you're trying to motivate people to wake up and participate in the ceremony or whatever, but it's also your chance to really show excellence to God and give Him thanks with the gift that He's given you. So that's a very personal thing. And when I do my music, and that's also a different side of me, that's a side of me that I could express what I feel, what I think, my view on life, society, relationship. So I see that as a platform to tell people who I am also. So one is my connection to God, and one is me talking to you, the audience.
Right.
So,
well, you know something, to me, they're all the same, because you are the messenger, and no matter where you go, I know that, you know, I grew up in church, and I sang gospel music before I did anything else, and I recently began, some years ago, I began singing on secular stages, and
right.
I sometimes would end with a worship song, and I had promised myself that no matter where I went, I would just put a little light on at the very end to drive the message home that there is
right.
love, you know, and
right.
and that God is love, and because we are lights, we were made to shine in the midst of darkness. So whether it's an inspiring song or poetry or
mm-hmm.
something that we know is going to warm up another person's heart. It's going to make them
right.
happy. It's going to bring joy into their life. And it's going to lead them in the right direction, because we don't know who's who and what people are going through. So we're always conduits. And I initially used to make that distinction of, oh, okay, I'm singing in church and I'm singing on a secular stage. But no matter where you are and no matter where we are as singers or performers, all eyes are on us, and we have to be at our best, and we have to give our best and do it as unto God. And it's like you said, excellence with excellence.
That's true. And I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you. This to me, music, I don't think that I can't see myself doing anything else. And it's something that I've done since I was very young. And God puts gifts into each one of us, and every gift is different, and every gift is unique. So you're correct. A singer is a messenger, and a singer can alleviate a situation, believe it or not.
That's
why
really the primary reason for music, believe it or not, was God created music was for the soul, for the heart. And think about David when he would sing at the foot of Esau, who was tormented. The Bible says that he was tormented by spirits. And,
right.
and the songs would come in, and he would play the harp, and he would sing to alleviate this man's soul and his
right.
heart.
Right.
So wherever you go, you know, however it is that you sing something, how you interpret it is going to do whatever it has to do.
Right.
No,
you're
I,
right.
I
and that's the way it should be viewed. You know, it should be viewed this way. And I hope, you know, like I said, I hope that I really would like singers and artists and musicians to know that if this is what you want to do and this is your passion, don't give up. Continue to fight for it. Continue to do it. If you want your voice to be heard, don't give up, because I know it's very frustrating. And I've had individuals come to me and ask me how to do it. How do they get out there? How do they promote themselves? And it's something that I found my way. And what was that?
That was just what I was going to ask you. I'm only kidding.
Oh.
I mean, how dare I ask you that question? I have a radio program, for crying out loud.
No, that's okay. That's okay. That's why we're here, you know. And we help each other out. We need to help each other out. And like I said, a lot of artists have asked me, you know, well, how did you do it? What did you do? You know. Where do I start? And
first, you get up off your rump.
I know, right? You start off that way. You really have to have
first,
a hunger. You have
yeah.
to have a hunger. You True. Really wanna. You really wanna make your presence known. Make
True.
Sure that your gift is polished. Meaning, if you're a singer,
make sure you practice every day. Make sure you spend some time with your craft. You have to do that. Make sure that you handle everything with excellence, where from the music to the production to the release of a CD or a show that you're putting together. Make sure that you're giving 100%, but that 100% is with excellence. And you know, not that you're lacking or that you're rushing. Take your time. Make sure that you know you're in the public eye, meeting in the media, in social media. Social media is a very important tool nowadays. Twitter pages, Facebook pages, SoundBid, Reverb Nation, all these things you can utilize to your advantage, which is what I've done.
Oh, look, I think we have another caller. Can you hold a second?
Oh, sure.
Two more callers. Hello, you're on the air. This is Carmen, New York Hot Cafe. You're on the air.
I am.
Yes, you are.
Could you hear me, Amix? I'm excited about your show.
Oh, thank you. Thank
Hi.
You very much. And would you please introduce yourself so that we know who you are and talk to Liz and ask her any questions you might have?
Well, my name is Israel, and to me, listening to Liz is sharing, you know, the dedication. To me, the importance of that dedication and seeing it, matter of fact, on you, Carmen, I mean, you have done exactly what she's been saying as far as dedicating time period, life, and the time I've known you, you've done all those things.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Israel. I'm glad that, you know, it gets noticed. And I appreciate the support, you know, and it's needed. Why? Because I'm an indie artist, and indie artists, we really struggle. We really have to push, and we really have to pursue and ask and please, please, please. That's become one of my favorite words. That's like one of my favorite words, Israel. Please, can you please call in? Can you please listen? Can you please, you know, look at my page? But you know what? You can't be shameful in what you're doing. You have to, if you want it, go for it. So I appreciate that you noticed. And let me ask you something, Israel. What do you do, may I ask?
What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
What do? I'm in sales, but to me, I've been born and raised in churches, and I've just, you know, seen different artists as they go from being nobody to somebody special, and
right.
People that, you know, just look up to these special people,
okay.
they just don't realize who they inspire.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you just don't realize who you're inspiring, but you're just, as you're singing and doing your thing, you don't know who you're touching out there.
Isn't that funny? That's so true. That didn't even cross my mind, but you're right. You never know who you're touching and who's listening to you and who you're inspiring those words. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm saying that because that's very true. That's very true. Israel, thank you for calling, Israel. I appreciate it. I appreciate you calling. I appreciate your words. And that just inspires me to keep going. So thank you so much.
That's the way to do it. You betcha. And thank you
for
your
joining
comment.
Tonight. Thank you, Israel, for calling.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. We have another caller.
I do. Yay.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Carmen.
You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Carmen. It's me, Lisa, your buddy.
Who?
It's Lisa.
Oh. Hi, Lisa. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask Liz? Liz,
wow. Yes, I do. What I really wanted to ask you was, how old were you when you first started singing?
Oh, I was young. I always say this. I never give my age because it's not nice. to ask a woman her age, but I was young when I started singing. I'll tell you this. I was nine. I wrote my first song when I was nine. When I was nine, I wrote my first song. And the funny story to this is it was about a rainbow. And I thought I was the hottest thing alive. I went to my mother, and I told her, Mom, I wrote a song. I'm a singer. It has a melody. It has words. And I love it. You know, and I would not shut up with the song. So my mother, from that moment, she said, uh-oh. I think, you know, we have a little artist on our hands. Yeah. And don't ask me to sing that. Don't ask me.
Wow. Just to hear the both of you speaking tonight, you know, is so powerful because, you know, Carmen knows that I've been singing for the longest, and it's so tremendous that when we have that gift, you know, that God has given to us, we need to take that and run with it. You know, the way God wants us to, because sometimes we say to ourselves, okay, you know, yeah, you know, we know that we want to be used, but, you know, when you don't use what God has given to you, it's like you sit back and you get to that point where it's like, okay, you know, what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to say it? But when you have that open heart before Him, He shows you how He wants to use you. Sometimes, you know, we could be in a certain setting and it's like, okay, you know, sometimes, you know, a person may come to us and say, well, can you sing for my wedding or for a funeral or whatever? And it's like, but why me?
Right.
When God gives you that open heart to do what He's calling you to do, take it and go with it, because you don't know. Again, you don't know who you may be reaching. You don't know where it may take you. You don't know what other people may be out there that doesn't even know the Lord, and He's going to show you how.
Right. You just touched on the same thing that the caller before you said. You never know who you're reaching when you do this. When you use whatever the gift is. It might not even be music or singing. It could be anything, but you never know how you're reaching someone. And you want that message, whatever it may be, to be a positive one, an encouraging one.
Right.
And if you do that, you're using the gift that God's given you, whatever it may be. And to Him be all the glory. You know, to Him be all the glory, and to Him be, you know, and like you said, another thing you said too that just touched me as well, you have to have an open heart. You have to be willing to receive what He's given you and use it and not
sit,
but cultivate it and make it grow.
Exactly.
So that's another very, very, very important point that you made. And thank you for sharing that, because I think someone out there needs to hear that.
You know, and that's why it's, you know, it's always good for people like us to turn around and tell others, you know, hey, you know, whatever you may be feeling inside, you know, open up yourself with it, you know. It could be writing or, you know, singing, because you don't know what, you know, where your inspiration will come from.
Right.
You don't know, you know, what your heart is feeling until you really get out there and say, okay, you know, this is what I'm going to do. You know, you can get up in the morning and say, okay, God, you know, show me the words, how to write, you know, a new song, but I don't know how to do it. It's not that we know how, you know, we don't know how to do it. He'll take our hands and put that pen in our hands and say, okay, you know, this is what I want you to write. But I don't know how. Again, God is saying,
give me the words. Give me the words.
And that's what it's all about.
And let me ask you something. What do you do?
Me? Well, right now, I'm, you know, Carmen knows that, you know, I've been
you don't have to give all the sort of details, but are you still singing with the choir?
Right now, I'm not singing with the choir right now, but you know what? Everything in due time and faith with God, because I know that He's gonna take me back out there. Right now, I'm just doing it. I'm just waiting on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just waiting on him and what he, you know, and what he has, you know, wants for me, because, you know, I'm just praying for my healing. And, you know, everything that he gives me, I'm saying, okay, God, yes and amen.
Right.
And you know, this is my call. This is my cry to, you know, before the Lord. But you know, I want to tell everybody out there that, you know, at the sound of God's heart, don't be afraid to let Him use you. Don't be afraid that when somebody comes to you with such a hunger that, you know, you look at it and say, okay, God, you know, give me the words to speak to this person because, you know, I don't know how to.
Right.
Well, it starts with your life, with your actions, with the way you respond to people. It starts with the work that you do, whatever work that you do. Everybody has different gifts. Some people will preach. Some people will sing. Others will make motivational speaking. Other people may become government officials, lawyers, doctors, wherever you are, and whatever your specialty is, that is your gift. That is what that is. You're like. I was telling sharing with Liz before. You're still in the light. You're still in the limelight. The eyes are still on you.
Right.
So you know people are waiting for this gift or this ministry to drop down from heaven and fall on their lap. And some of them are playing Diamond Dash on Facebook, or they're doing something, you know, on they're sort of on the tushes, and they're sort of waiting for this calling to come, and it just doesn't come. We have to get up. We have to be, we have to mobilize ourselves to do whatever it is that we need to do in life to be progressive and to be useful to society. Where we are, whether it is in our existing job, whether it's in every job, it doesn't matter what you do. You could be working in sanitation, and you know, for the sanitation department, and all you're doing is you may be sweeping the street, but you're a light. You're special. You have something that you can bring to someone else, and you never know who that person's going to be. A lot of people think that it has to always come through a spiritual calling, but we all have a purpose. Every last one of us has a purpose, and people are waiting for this ministry to drop down from the sky, and it doesn't happen. We have to sit down and take stock and look at our gifts and what they are and stop wasting precious time on meaningless things and doing a lot of talking and not doing enough with what we have.
Amen.
So,
yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, I'm sorry, Liz. This is your, Liz.
No,
that's okay.
I'm just listening. I'm enjoying listening to both of you speak, and it's a powerful message, and don't worry. I'm okay. I'm here. I don't know what's up to be.
We have a little bit more time left here. We have about 32 more minutes left. I thought I was gonna do like an hours long show, but we've just been having so much fun. And to be honest with you, I would love to play that. Remember that song that I played during one of Anthony's talks here on the New York Podcast Cafe, Sigo Siendo Yo. I would love to play that song. Do you mind if I play that right now?
Go for it. Yes.
Go ahead. Go for
Lisa,
it.
Lisa, okay. I'm going to try and mute you guys out so that we don't hear talking over the music, because if I don't do that, then everyone's going to get everything, the music and all of us talking.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm going to mute the two of us for at least 3.52 seconds, okay? So here we go, everyone. This is the beautiful Liz singing Sigo Siendo Yo in Spanish for the Spanish audience out there who doesn't speak English or prefers to hear something nice in Spanish. Here it is. And for those of you who only speak English, we hope that you will feel inspired by the music if you don't understand anything else. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Was Liz Menezes. And of course, I think Liz's call sort of dropped out of the radar here, but I think I still have Lisa on the line.
Yes, you do.
Hi. Yep. Thank you for hanging in. I didn't think that you would hang in that long. Thanks so much for calling. I don't know if you still have any questions for Liz. Maybe we can wait for her to get back online. I'm hoping
wow.
that she'll give us a ring back. A cold
I love that song. My God, gracias a Dios. Wow.
Well, music has a different note twist that I like. It's very rhythmic and very happy, and it tells it like it is. It doesn't flower it up, and I like that.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So, I don't know if she's going to be getting on. If she does, I would imagine that it'll be within the next couple of minutes because, Liz, we have another 25 minutes to the program.
What I wanted to ask her is, does she have a copy of that CD? I would love to get her.
You know something? I don't know. I think some of the songs are maybe current ones, or they're not going to go in the CD. But I seriously think that maybe you and I should start a petition and get her to produce a mini CD. But oftentimes an artist may not have enough material for a full CD. Like me,
mm-hmm.
I'm in the process of doing a CD production, and I thought I was going to get done with that CD last year how wrong I was. It's taking much, much longer than that because it's not a 1, 2, 3 thing. So I know what she's going through with hers. It takes a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of brain power because you have to sit up nights and work very hard.
Yeah.
There she is. Hey, Liz.
Hi. I'm sorry.
You got to drop again. At least you're on the phone.
I was listening to you. Your question was, do I have a CD? Was that your name again?
Lisa.
Oh, Lisa. Hi, Lisa. I'm one of my closest friends. Her name is Lisa. Yes, I do. I that's a CD. It's part of a CD. And it has 9 songs in it. 8 songs, I'm sorry.
Wow.
It's available on all digital downloads. And the title of the CD is Joe.
Okay.
Joe. Y.
Qué bueno.
Qué
bueno.
It's in Spanish.
Gracias.
Is that one entirely in Spanish, or does it have several in English?
No, that one is entirely in Spanish. Entirely.
Qué bueno.
No, the one that I'm going to be working on now is going to have English tunes and Spanish tunes. But that first effort in Spanish is because I don't know, this is me. I feel more connected when I sing in Spanish. There's more of
true
of
emotion,
believability, yeah. And
amen.
And
yeah.
But like I see, yo me siento
así. Amen.
Yeah.
There's more intent in the Spanish language. When you say
it's
something in Spanish, there's more intent in it and
mm-hmm.
more conviction. It's like
mm-hmm.
when you're singing, it's just such a different language than English
mm-hmm.
that I'm amazed
right.
myself.
And Spanish is a beautiful language. So, you know,
is.
I said, why not? Why not do it?
You know?
Oh, exactamente.
What led you to make the transition this time around to do a part English and part Spanish CD?
I think that goes back to what we were discussing several minutes ago, where I want to give the audience a variety, and I want the audience to know that I do sing in that language. And I don't want to leave my English-speaking fans out of the loop. So I wanted to let them know and show them that I can do that and see how they feel about it. But I'm not going to abandon my Spanish speaking fans.
Gracias a Dios, because que no canto, it's just to hear you like that. I'm like, wow. Like, so amazed.
Ay, gracias. Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
Mira, Carmen, gracias. Mira, Carmen, if it wasn't for you, you know, gracias a Dios starting the iPod Cafe. It's we don't have other radio stations like this.
No.
We do not have other radio stations like this, and I think it's time, you know.
I'm going to try to continue to cultivate it to see what people out there would like to hear. And in fact, if people would write me at carmeng@newyorkpodcafe, and that's
right.
newyork pod, pod, cafe, cafe.com, I would be very glad to hear what other types of programming and genres they would like to hear on this program, because it's really not all about what I like. I would like to play some of what the people really would like to hear. I mean, that's the point, really.
And Carmen, I don't mean to go and leave you, but I have to go into the studio right now. But,
okay.
I just want to tell everyone who's called in, and Lisa, thank you for calling in and talking to me. It was a pleasure.
Oh, my God.
Thank you,
Lisa,
everyone,
for joining
listen.
Us on the show. I'm gonna stay in touch with you, okay, sweetheart?
Sure. Besos to
yep.
everyone, which means kisses. And in Portuguese, beijo. And I'll talk to all of you soon. And
thank
stay
you.
Tuned because the good stuff is coming.
Okay. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us, Liz, on the program. Thank you for giving of your time and just being so wonderful it takes a lot of time to you know, giving up some time to be on the air like this with people. And I really do hope that, you know, we hear from you again soon. So thank you, Liz, again. I am here on my own, and I think that I would love to see more of people like Lisa on the program, more authors. I have a wonderful book writer, coach, who helps catapult people's best sellers. And actually, she creates best sellers and makes sure that the books that people author hit the New York Times best sellers list. She's agreed to be on our program possibly next month. And I have this wonderful, amazing actress, Hollywood actress, lined up for us in January. And a fabulous comedian, a television comedian who's been on SNL and has been on many, many different programs. And he's agreed to be on the program. I have so many people who want to be interviewed, and including other singers. Kevin Davis, I haven't forgotten you. I love you. You're going to be on soon. I just have to space these up. You know, it takes me from the time that I script a program or an episode until I finish recording it and editing it, it takes me about 7 hours to do all of this work. It's a lot of my personal time that goes into it, and I am certainly starting to look around for sponsors for the program to keep it alive so that I can have more, feature more and more and more artists like Lisa and like Tony Max, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago. Everything takes money. I don't like asking for money, but I am looking for sponsors, be they real estate firms, doctors, lawyers, people in different fields who would like to advertise their business through this program. I welcome your sponsorship. Talk to me. You can email me at carmeng@newyorkpodcafe.com, or you can also email me at events@carmengoldbergmedia.com, and we can talk about what we need to do to get your product information on the air here on the New York Podcasting Cafe, where I would say we're getting about 750 listeners a week. Okay, so far I've been on under a month, about 27 days. And in 27 days, this program has been downloaded at least 750 times a week by new listeners. Every listener is unique. In other words, if you listen to the program twice, You're only going to be recognized once by the matrix. So if you're listening to this program, you download it and you're new, you get added to the count. And so anybody out there who has a business who's interested in advertising with me, please, by all means, contact me. Again, it's carmeng@newyorkpodcafe.com or events@carmengoldbergmedia. We would like to hear from you. And, of course, if your company has criteria and that we have to adhere to, because I know there's all sorts of legal things that go with advertising, we would be very glad to create a promotion for on-air play with your copy. In other words, you write the copy if you wish, and we will add the voiceovers and the music to your commercial, which will play here on the air. I have somebody calling in. Let's see, who is this amazing caller? Hi, this is Carmen Amoros. You're on the air at the New York Podcasting Cafe.
Yes, hello, Carmen Amoros. This is Tony Max.
Oh, hi, Tony. How are you?
I don't know how to answer that question.
I hope you're doing okay. The last time we spoke, that you had all kinds of wonderful things happening since you were on the program. You've been invited to come sing in one place, and you're doing a competition somewhere else, and you've got this amazing fundraiser coming up, or a toy drive coming up. So why don't you share a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's good to be on the show with you, Carmen. Thank you for having, well, for picking up my call, first of all. Thank you. On December 7th, I'll be at Barnacle Heights. That's a little type of club in the city, in the village. And I'll be playing there with, competing against four other artists for a possible spot to play at a concert that will take place on New Year's Eve somewhere in the city. And then also a possibility that I'll be able to play for Fashion Week in the city next year. And then on the 14th, I'll be in Asbury Park, New Jersey, playing for my friend Simone's publishing anniversary. And
you have all of this in your roster too, right?
Yes, it's on my Reverb Nation page, correct. And I have a flyer up on my Facebook page that I'm it's highlighted. That if you go to facebook.com/AntSank82, then you'll be able to see the flyer with all the information for the event there.
Okay.
And shortly, this Sunday, I have a meeting with the woman who's organizing the toy drive that I'm going to be performing in, actually, along with Liz. Liz Menendez is going to be there as well on the 15th. And
oh, wow.
And a friend of mine named Megan Wright and her
mm-hmm.
band. So we're going to put on a show for the kids and the families. And there's going to be food for them as well. And then at the end of the show, they're going to, you know, walk away with a gift for their kids. So we're going to be doing that toy drive at Amasuda on the 15th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Wow, so you've got a lot on your plate.
And yes, and I'm also judging the, there's a talent show going on in the high school that I worked in John Adams High School.
Look at that, you are so wonderful. You are so wonderful that you couldn't even get the venue, and yet you are making sure that their venue, you know, gets your support. That's fantastic.
Of course. I still serve the kids
mm-hmm.
The kids in that high school, and you know, they're a good bunch of kids, and you know, they shouldn't miss out or lose out on anything that I'm. Not that I'm anything grand, but you know, whatever it is positive that I can offer them, it's you know, they shouldn't have to miss out on it just because you know the venue went south at the last minute. It's, you know, we're all professional. We're all adults.
Definitely. But I just felt that I needed to say that. Because you went through your own struggles at the very at the 11th hour trying to find that venue for that Hurricane Sandy benefit concert that you threw. And I felt your anguish, and I felt what you were going through. And I think that it's wonderful that your spirit is still intact, that the human spirit is still there.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, if anything, these types of things, you know, they kind of knock us in the gut and knock the wind out of us, but they should never deter from the foundation or the core of who you are as an individual. You never let things like that deter you. They should actually serve, if anything, as fuel and a catalyst for a much greater work that you can do.
Right. And you know something, I really look forward to more venues like that. You know, because this whole, you know, I remember we were talking about the Hurricane Sandy thing not really being over, and it's not. And I have vowed that as long as I know there are people out there who don't have homes and don't have a place to stay and don't have their usual comfort zone, you know, can you imagine waking up one day and the couch that you used to watch television with your family or listen to music to is not there? The table where you would sat and, you know, sit and eat is not there. The warmth that you used to feel is not there. These people are out there without homes. They're still homeless. And I really still feel so strongly about the effort that you put into that benefit concert, and I was so grateful, and I so admired you for it.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
And
I mean,
thanks to you, we wouldn't have had Liz Menezes. And what did you think about her, by the way?
I wasn't listening until now is when I, because I remember I texted her. She asked me to call on the air earlier when she was on. But I was, my wife is very ill. And
I'm sorry to hear.
No, it's okay. You know, it happens to all of us. And my daughter had the flu over the week. It was a crazy weekend. I mean, my wife had to fly out last week to California because her aunt is passing away from cancer. And so she, you know, I was alone with the kids, and I was out of work for almost a week. And then my daughter got the flu over this past weekend. And so it looks like my wife has it now. So it's just, you know.
Right. In other words, you're normal. You're living what most of us have to live when we get bronchitis or the flu or something happens, somebody's sick, and one of you has to carry the full load of playing doctor, husband, dad, you know, the whole thing, then going to work the next day with barely any sleep.
All of the above, Carmen. All of the above.
Tony, we have about another 9 minutes till the end of the program. Is there anything that you would like to share with the folks that have been listening into the interview with Liz today? I would love to hear your take.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that has been, you know, listening to Liz, you should know that that is a young lady who is a genuine individual. She never hides it. You know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, we almost like walk on eggshells when it comes to artists. And I can tell you right off the bat, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be very cautious or weary of, you know, maybe she's hiding who she really is. Liz is a very genuine individual. And she wears her heart on her sleeve, and what she says she means, and she tries her darndest to be as transparent as she can be, and you know, it's a quality that not a lot of artists have, and not a lot of people have for that matter. But you know, if you heard her today, if you've heard her music, if you heard her website advertised, go on it, listen to her music. Her music is wonderful. It's written from the heart. And it's and if you purchase it, you'll be investing into an individual who is a wonderful human being who tries to do the best that she can with the time that she's been given by God here on earth. And, you know, go for it. Investigate about her. Look her up. And just, you know, show her some love.
Yes, and for those who've been listening, we'll keep her in, we'll keep Liz in our prayers, because we all know we're all faith-based people here, and I think everybody within the sound of my voice, I hope, has a degree of faith. And for those who pray, we'll keep her in our prayers. And you know, with that said, I also wanted to give a shout out to Carmen Morales and Miguel Morales, who are friends of mine who just lost their son today, who passed away, died at just age 39. Now that you mentioned all about that. But not to end this program on a sad note, I'm just so comforted to know that the people who are listening to this program are good people and are not judgmental, and they do pray, and they listen to the Tony Maxes, and they listen to the Liz Menezes, and they feel comforted and uplifted by them and at all times. And I'm just so happy that I had the two of you to bring this program out of hiatus.
Well, you know, Carmen, if I don't want to seem too forward, if it's okay, you know, can we just lift up a quick prayer for your friends, Carmen and Miguel Morales, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
You go ahead and you lead. We'll all listen in with you.
Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, O God. You're the God of all comfort. You are the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
In you, Father God, we can find all rest. We can find
all the comfort that we in our human state, Father God, can never find here on earth. And we just extend, Father God, hallelujah, our hand of love, Father God, over the Morales family. And we ask you, O God, to just be with them, O God. Be with them in such a tangible way, O God. Envelop them, cover them, and wrap them in your arms of comfort and peace, O God. And even, Father God, even though their son was 39, Father God, 39 and 5, to a parent, Father God, there is no limit on the age, Father God, when a parent has to bury their child. It is such a heavy load, a heavy burden, a painful burden, Father God, to ever have to bear. But I know, Father God, hallelujah, that you never give us more than we can bear. And we love you, O God, and we just ask you to just, right now, where they are, meet them, O God. Love on them. Give them a
Amen.
Word of encouragement, O God.
Amen.
And let them know that you, Father God, will hold them through all moments of difficulties, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tony, thank you so much for your prayer. Thank you for that loving heart. I when I first heard about their son's death just about an hour ago, I was praying inside of myself too, because I can imagine what the anguish is in their heart at this very moment. Words are cheap, but we can pray and we can continue to keep them in our prayers. Thank you so much for being on our program. We only have 4 more minutes to go, and if there's anything else that you'd like to say, by all means do. You know, thank you for coming on, and I hope to have you again in your own new special interview. Maybe you can do a workshop on music production next time. What do you think?
I guess we can
the young music producers out there who are in need of some direction musically. I think it's a wonderful thing, and you're a very knowledgeable person, so why not give something back? Right?
Absolutely. I mean, to be honest with you, I really consider myself to be knowledgeable. I just play what I hear.
Me too. You do what you know best.
I play what I love.
Yes.
If it sounds good, I'm going to play it.
Yeah, I get it. So we're going to be going off the air very, very shortly. We have
all
about
right.
2 minutes and 53 seconds.
All right, but you know what? Real quickly, December 7th, if you're in the New York area or in the tri-state area, you know, just come out to Bardo Heights December 7th. Go on at 10:30 p.m. Say you're there to see Tony Max, and you can look it up. It's Bardo Heights. It's Bardot Heights, and that's in the Village in New York City. You can look it up on the Google, and you can easily find it. It always comes up. But I'll be there Friday, December 7th at 10:30 p.m., be there or be square. Show some love and come see Tony Max.
Yes. I would love to see more of you on YouTube or wherever it is that we can see you too, and maybe do a new stream with you too. So thank you again, and I really look forward to hanging with you guys maybe together in the next program.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being on
our
program.
All right, Carmen.
Thank you, Tony. You've been listening to Carmen Amoros on the New York Podcasting Cafe. Thank you, and I look forward to the next program with you. Take care.